Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This program is recorded.
Welcome to EMS Live in Wisconsin. Today is Tuesday, July 26, 2016. This is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. We have a full deck today. Glad that you are with us. Thank you for sharing your time. I'd like to bring into the streamed podcast Patrick Ryan and Chris Anderson. Hello, fellas. Thanks for being with us today.
Morning, Joe.
Hey, Joe. It's good to be back.
Yeah, good to have you back, Chris. I know you were busy in Milwaukee with Bell Ambulance and all the festivities that happen around the summertime, and it's good to have you back. Today's program is dedicated. Yeah, you're welcome. Today's program is dedicated to pediatrics. It's just a few minutes. In just a few minutes, we'll be talking with Ben Ethan and Mary Jean Urshan Cook. They are with the University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinics in Madison. And then a bit later in the broadcast, we'll be chatting with Josh Tebow with J&B Medical and Chris Bordnick with Quantum. They're going to share with us a new safety, child safety restraint device that you can apply to your ambulance stretcher. But first, I wanted to offer a few quick minutes to Patrick. I know he has an update on community paramedicine legislation. Patrick?
Sure. Thanks, Joe. We've got a draft now that's been put together, and it's been circulated to the major stakeholder groups for some input. It's going to need some work yet, which we expect. But I think it's a clearer version of really what we had the last time around. There's still some questions as to what may or may not be included, whether we include community EMT at this point. Some discussion needs to take place around that. But again, as I've reported in the past couple of shows, the good points are that we have all the major stakeholders essentially on the same page. I think we all kind of see this similarly. And while there's some minor details to iron out, we're much further along than we were at the end of the last legislative session when we did have a draft, but there was some confusion, and I don't think we had gotten good dialogue to take place to get the buy-in that we need. But we're very optimistic that once the session starts after the first of the year, that we'll be able to have a solid draft and garner bipartisan support. So we're moving along, with the legislators not being in session now till 2017, not a lot can happen, at least in terms of a resolution, but at least a lot of work will continue to go on behind the scenes to get that draft ready to go once the session does start. So good things are happening. It's just slow.
Very good, Patrick. Thank you for the update. Chris, did you have anything?
No, nothing new. Just looking forward to getting back into the mix.
Okay, very good. It's good to have you again. Dan Wims is not able to join us. Dan has a county board meeting this morning, but he did want me to pass along that the registration is now active. If you're interested in the Paramedic Systems of Wisconsin conference, you can now register. They have an outline of the agenda posted also at the website. The website address is psow.org. Again, psow.org. The only thing I wanted to bring up, just to raise your awareness to this, and we have previously reported on it with a podcast, the Legislative Study Committee on Volunteer Firefighter and EMT Shortages is having its first meeting this morning, actually started at 9 this morning. The committee was created by the Wisconsin Legislature, and additional meetings are planned each month until the end of the year. We're going to closely monitor the activities of the study committee. This is a rather important thing for EMS, and typically legislation comes out of this committee work as they dive deep into issues. And again, the issue they're addressing is the EMT and firefighter shortage. Make sure to monitor PAW for updates. The last time there was a EMS or a study committee dedicated to EMS was back in 1996, and before that, 1992. So it's been quite some time. Today's EMS Live in Wisconsin program is sponsored by Jefferson Fire and Safety, Cardiotronics, and Trans World Systems. The program is going to last about 30 minutes, and again, it is dedicated to pediatrics. We're glad that you're with us. Our program continues after these brief messages.
This program is sponsored by Jefferson Fire and Safety, providing high-quality equipment and service to fire, EMS, and police agencies from across Wisconsin. and manufacturer's representative for Lifeline Ambulances. Find them on the web at jeffersonfire.com. Frustrated with EMS equipment breakdowns? Is equipment sitting on the shelf waiting to get repaired only to be left with an unreliable backup, having to chase down or wait for a repair technician? If so, there's a simple fix. Cardiotronics is a single-source service maintenance provider dedicated to EMS equipment. They service several Wisconsin customers already. Besides repairing your equipment, they'll create a formalized maintenance program. They have three main objectives: reduce costs, improve reliability of your equipment, and minimize service events. Contact Craig Harmon at Cardiotronics today at 855-433-3427 or find them on the web at cardiotronicshealth.com. Make Cardiotronics your next service call.
EMS Live in Wisconsin is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. To speak with the co-hosts or guests during the live show, dial 646-929-1081 and press number 1 on your keypad. Or send an email to emslive@paaw.us. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Cavelli, joined by Patrick Ryan and Chris Anderson. We know as EMS providers that responding or caring for a child can present a stressful situation for those involved. Could be the pediatric patient, the family members, and yes, EMS caregivers. Screams, crying, the challenges of communication, even the inability to take a simple blood pressure can raise the EMS provider's blood pressure, because we as EMS providers, we like to give care. And unfortunately, sometimes that is not possible just given the circumstances in an agitated child. I'd like to welcome into the program Ben Ethan. Ben is the program manager for pediatric trauma at the University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinics in Madison. He is joined by Mary Jean Urshan, Mary Jean Urshan Cook. She is pediatric care coordinator. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having us.
Oh, absolutely. We're glad that you reached out to us. And I know Patrick suggested we speak because you had a great message to share. And as I mentioned in my introductory comments, treating kids can be a stressful situation for all just because of the dynamics and the intensity that can happen with screaming, crying, or a challenging situation. So what do you suggest, Ben and Mary Jean, for treating somebody at the scene or in the ambulance?
Well, we have several different tricks that we're going to talk about, we both absolutely love taking care of kids, and really it is a challenge, but if you take some of the steps that we're going to talk about, we believe that it just really makes your job better, and it also helps to reduce the stress for the patient as well as the families. So anytime you can have the family involved with taking care of the child, that is also a help, because that is their trusted person, and they know that person. And so what we always suggest is give that parent a job, you know, and have them talk to the child, sing to the child. Distraction is extremely, extremely important. And so actually teaching your service members also ways of distraction. And I always mention to anyone who I'm working with when I'm talking about working with kids is that this gives us as adults permission to play. And so everything that you do with a child, you should be thinking, how can I make this into play? And so through the Emergency Medical Services for Children program, they now have what's called comfort kits that are available for EMS services across the state. And so we have actually put together some of the little tools to help with distraction. It also helps with pain management. And we always go back to our basics also. You know, think about keeping a child warm is extremely important for their comfort, as well as their splints, dressings, cold, all of that. But in the comfort kit, then it has bubbles. We absolutely suggest using bubbles. That's your first line of defense in working with kids. And we encourage everyone to keep bubbles in their pockets because you never know when you're going to need them. And so if you take the bubbles and have the parent blow the bubbles on the opposite side that you are obtaining the blood pressure, pulse, and counting their respirations, that child is concentrating on those bubbles. And bubbles are fun. They're always fun. And so taking those bubbles and having them blow as a distraction measure away from, to take that concentration of that child away from whatever you're doing. So if, even if you need to start an IV, give an epi injection, anything like that, have the bubbles blown on the opposite side of the child that you are planning to work on. And then light up balls are absolutely awesome. And we have light up wands and glitter sticks and anything that can turn and light up. These are all included in the comfort kit for the Emergency Medical Services for Children program. But all of these you can actually purchase at Walmart or Target or anything at very low cost also. And just keep them in a bag in your service. And they're not large items, so they're easy to store also. And but they don't have to be expensive, just really inexpensive things. The bubbles themselves, if you go to the wedding aisle at Walmart, they sell them 100 of them in a packet for $15 and 100 on an ambulance for as many pediatric transports as you will have. Goes a long way. And so, but always keep them in your pocket so they're ready to go. Pacifiers, and we like to actually advocate that you go back to your medical director to ask if you can carry a product called Sweeties. It's not a medication, but it's basically sugar water, and it works as an opioid for or similar to an opioid for infants. So if they are having pain, if they're screaming in the back of the ambulance, if you just dip a pacifier into the Sweeties, which is the sugar water, and then put it in their mouth, or if they don't use a pacifier, you can actually, they don't have teeth yet, so you can take a gloved little finger and dip your little finger into the Sweeties and put it into their mouth, and they will calm down. Again, if you are starting an IV or doing a painful procedure to the child, you can also take that gloved finger or a pacifier and just dip it into the Sweeties and use it for that child. Now, word of caution is if that child has an injury that you think that they're going to need to be NPO, to really watch that also. Or if there's a threat to vomiting, you don't want the child to vomit also as you are securing them in the back of an ambulance. But books are excellent. We typically like the I Spy books for like the 2 to 5 year old because you can hold the I Spy book up and say, "I spy an elephant." And then the child will look for the elephant and point to the elephant. And so one person is doing that with the child as the other person is doing, again, taking the vitals, doing a painful procedure or whatever. But it's soothing and it's distracting. And also we really promote reading at a young age. And so we can, if you can find a sponsor in your community to purchase books, give the books then to the family after you transport the child. And again, very easy to actually keep them in the ambulance, and it doesn't take a lot of rooms. Assortments of balls also are great. And so there's squeezy balls that you can have an older child actually squeeze for anxiety and distress. They can actually keep squeezing that ball, or you can actually have them do that and count at the same time and squeeze the ball, again, using that for distraction. A sling is also included into the pack, again, for comfort. We also Love Buzzy Bee. It used to be in the packet, but it isn't anymore. If you go to buzzyforshots.com, this is an emergency department physician who has created Buzzy, and she did a lot of research as a resident as to where the pain synapses travel through the body. And so by using the use of vibration and ice, what it does is it takes the pain synapse, and it, instead of going to the brain, it goes to the spinal cord. And so it's a great tool, very inexpensive again. I think it's $35 to $40. Amy Baxter is the physician, and she has adamantly tried to keep it at a low cost so that families themselves can buy Buzzy. And then J-Tips, if you are an advanced service, we really promote the use of J-Tips. This is not included in the kit anymore because of the difficulty to get it from a non-medical standpoint for, like, the state agency. But any medical provider can order them from jtip.com. There's excellent videos on there. And what that does is, if anyone's learned about how to start IVs with wheels, this actually provides the wheel, but it injects it through air versus a second needle. And so then there's no pain associated. So we've been able to start IVs on babies without them crying or anything. And it's an excellent tool to use. And then there's another device called a shot blocker for easy IV placement. And again, it's just a distraction. It goes around the site. It's a little plastic device, very inexpensive, and basically has these little points on it that stick into the skin and distracts that pain synapse again so that the child isn't experiencing that pain. So other things you can do, what we really promote is really planning what you're doing. So you shouldn't be gathering your supplies in the child's eye if possible, if you can do it so that the child can't see what you're doing, because anything that you're doing in front of that child is going to increase that anxiety unless you are distracting them. But before you actually arrive at the scene, just decide who is going to be that primary support person for the child. So one person really should be that primary support. And so that person is the only person who's really talking to the child, and one person talks to the child at a time. I have ADD at over 50, and all these kids are easily distractible also. And so if multiple people are talking to them at the same time, then that child just doesn't know who to listen to. And, you know, if two people are telling them to do something at the same time, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So, you know, I might cry instead. And so that's going to make your job easier also, if you just choose to have one support person, that's what's going to be. And then have a coping plan. And we have lots of different things that we are working on in coping plans. And children, at least in our area, may actually have a coping plan card. We're giving them out to the parents to say, you know, what works best for this child. Is it the J-tip? Is it the bubble of distraction? Is it a cream that you can put on the skin and numb the skin, or a spray? There is a spray out there called Painies also that you can actually, it's cold. It's use of cold. But one warning with that you have to be quick, because it only numbs the skin for about a minute. And so you have to have everything ready so that your poke is actually going to occur right after you spray. And so there's all kinds of different things that you can do. And then positioning also is extremely important. So if you are at the home or at a facility and you are obtaining vital signs on a child, have what's called a comfort hold for that child. So we use chest to chest is our favorite. So the child is sitting on the parent's lap. Their chest is towards the parent's chest with the legs straddling the parent's hips. And this can be in a chair, on a stretcher, or whatever. And that parent then, we tell them, give that child a hug. And so they are giving that child comfort as we are doing our procedures. And so make sure that you're using that. Oops, sorry. My phone's going off. I don't know where my phone is.
Okay. So that's kind of a basic overview of how we deal with kids, and I think one of the most important things to know is even those of us who do this every day, it doesn't get less scary for us, and we do this as a choice, whereas most of the times EMS says, you know, I didn't go into this to deal with kids. So that's kind of an overview of how we deal with treating children. Are there any questions, or did we bring up anything that you guys were unfamiliar with?
Well, I think that was an excellent presentation from Mary Jean. She covered a lot of great detail. You know, the number of calls that an ambulance service will encounter with a pediatric is rather small, but when you do come across the situation, the anxiety level can go up quite considerably depending on the circumstances or how mom and dad or family member can soothe the child. But I think these are some excellent recommendations. Do you have this in any type of printed material that we could post with this podcast so people could refer to exactly what you're referring to? Because frankly, I think a lot of ambulance services just carry a stuffed animal.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And this takes it to the whole next level. So if there's some guidance that maybe we could give our partners in EMS, some photos of things that you referred to or suggestions when trying to create a kit dedicated to pediatrics, I think it'd be a great help.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So if you wouldn't mind, Ben or Mary Jean, to send us any information you have, we'll be happy to share that statewide. Patrick and Chris, how about your respective services in working with kids?
Joel, this is Patrick. I would like to just bring up a local Madison-based charity that PAW has partnered with and we've used it with Ryan Brothers. It's called Reach a Child. It's been around since 2007, and they work with first responders everywhere, including EMS and police, to provide age-appropriate books along with a small duffel bag that can easily be stowed in the ambulance. So many of the things that we just heard about, this aims to achieve. But a great charity, and also just something that happened just this last week. They unfortunately experienced a flood in their storage unit in their where they have their books, and the volunteers have been going through separating the salvageable books to the ones that they're going to have to get rid of. So they're in need of some support too. I know there's a link on our PAW website to Reach a Child, or their website is all one word, reachachild.org. But again, another great partner and another tool that's right up the alley of what we've been speaking about.
Thank you very much for sharing that, Patrick. Chris, how about you at Bell Ambulance in Milwaukee? Any tips or tricks in working with pediatric patients?
I really enjoyed listening to that, I guess call it a presentation, because all of us are guilty of not thinking about pediatrics as much as we should. And I think that's something, you know, as long as I've been involved and been an EMT, you know, I've had that thought from time to time. So I think those are great tips. I remember the buzzy, that ER physician was actually on Shark Tank with that product.
She was.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, so it was, you know, I thought then it was really neat. So I can tell you that what I've learned has been from our partnership with Children's Hospital here in Wisconsin, or in Milwaukee, Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. Hearing that you talk about distraction, you know, that's the number one thing that they've taught us to include. You know, movies, DVDs, and wireless headphones. And that is the number one tip that they've given us. And that's something that, you know, that they have in their ground transport vehicles. And it is a lifesaver, from what I understand.
Absolutely.
Yes, definitely. Even we all have smartphones. You know, our most people have smartphones now, and even if you don't have like an iPad or something, iPads are wonderful. And I could share our Child Life Services put together by age great apps for kids that you can download onto an iPhone or an iPad. So we'd be happy to share that also. So.
Mary Jean and Ben, thank you very much for spending your time this morning and giving us some excellent tips in working with an infant or a child, a very critical situation or a situation that involves some entertainment. I think that was the key, is to be prepared and have a tool bag of sorts that you can pull out at the ready and be ready to address not only the medical needs, but the emotional needs of a child and the parents and the family that might be present.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
So
yes,
you're very good. Mary Jean Urshan-Cook and Ben Ethan with the Pediatric Care Program at the University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinics in Madison. Thank you for being with us today.
Yes.
Thank you.
Now, one thing that we would like to talk about, too, is, you know, not only the care of a pediatric patient, but also the transportation of that child to safely get them from point A to point B. And quite often I've seen it where the only means to get the child in the ambulance and on the stretcher is to have mom or dad hold them on the stretcher. And unfortunately, that presents a potential risk if there was an accident. JMB Medical came out with a new product that attaches to the ambulance stretcher. And we'll be chatting with Josh Tebow with JMB Medical and also Chris Bordnick with Quantum. They are the manufacturer of this new device. They sold 2,000 of them in Michigan, the state of Michigan, recently. So every ambulance in the state of Michigan is going to be carrying this device. And our conversation with them will continue after our next break. You're listening to EMS Live in Wisconsin.
Having trouble collecting on past due accounts or your aging report continues to increase? Contact Transworld Systems and ask about their easy flat fee collection service that averages just $10 per past due account. With better than average industry collection results, Transworld presents an option versus writing off that $500 or $2,000 patient bill. For more information, go to PAW's homepage and click on Transworld's banner ad. Collections just got easier with Transworld Systems.
You're listening to EMS Live in Wisconsin. And now back to the program.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Cavelli, joined by Patrick Ryan and Chris Anderson. I'm pleased to bring into our call Josh and Chris. Thank you very much for joining us today and sharing your information about how we keep kids safe in the back of the ambulance.
Hey, Joe. Thanks
for
having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad that you can join us. Well, let me start out, Josh, with you. I know you recently shared with us your company sold 2,000 of these child safety restraint devices that attach to the stretcher to every ambulance service in the state of Michigan. Sounds like it's something we should be looking at in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. You know, in addition to the full line of medical supplies that we offer, we are very proud to be a premier distributor in the area for the ambulance child restraint, or ACR-4. This is the only device on the market that can safely restrain a pediatric patient between the weights of 4 pounds to 99 pounds. There's nothing else out there that covers that many kids. And as a segue to the prior presenter, you know, you'd hate to get through all of that stress and stabilization and then put that kid in mom's lap, like you mentioned. It kind of defeats the purpose. So I'd like to pass the baton over to Chris, who's the vice president of sales for Quantum EMS, who's the manufacturer of this product, and he can give a more in-depth description for you.
Okay, that sounds great. Before you start, Chris, let's refer our listeners to your website, or we also posted a link on our PAW website, paaw.us, on the right side underneath the podcast banner. But why don't you refer those listening to your website? They can call it up while they hear us chat about it.
Sure, and thank you very much for having me today. It's www.quantum, Quantum EMS.com. And on the lower right hand side of the page, you actually can see the ambulance child restraint video. So you know, we're talking about pediatrics today. One of the biggest challenges has always been restraining a child in the back of the ambulance. And EMS does what they always do, adapt and overcome. And there hasn't really to this point been a device that's been able to safely restrain every single child you come across from 4 to 99 pounds. The other issue is a lack of a federal standard for restraining children in the back of an ambulance. There is massive confusion throughout the U.S. I talk to people all over the country, and when we talk to them, we ask them, well, what are you using? And I've heard, you name it, I've probably heard it, everything from mom to backboards to towels and other various devices that have been around. And no one's really focused on safely restraining children in the back of an ambulance. 600,000 children are not properly restrained every year in the back of ambulances in the U.S. That's a big number. People don't really pay attention to it because in the entire scope of EMS, pediatrics is a very finite amount of calls that they actually make. So it's becoming more the forefront. When we first launched this product, and it's been out for 7 years in the U.K. and the European Union. It's been in North America for 3 years, and it is clearly the market leader at this point. You've had other devices, but they can't do the weight range, and they can't restrain properly like the ambulance child restraint system can. So as it's progressed in the U.S., we spend an inordinate amount of money as a company just doing education about pediatrics. We spend about $5,000 a month just getting the word out that there's no federal standard. So if I called 10 people in EMS and said to them, what do you use? They'd get a variety of answers. And then I'll get a phone call from them, or they'll ask me, well, it doesn't meet the federal standard. And I have to turn and say there is no federal standard, which is quite shocking to everybody. So then it gets into the conversation of, well, does it meet Federal Motor Vehicle Act 213? And people say, well, why would it meet that? Well, that's the standard for passenger vehicles on how to restrain children in the back of an ambulance, the same as restraining a child in the back of an ambulance. So it doesn't meet 213. No device does. It doesn't have to because it doesn't apply to ambulances, to an ambulance. You have different G-forces. You have quick stops, quick starts. You know, when I always said when an ambulance gets in a crash, it's very similar to a snow globe. You might as well just shake it up, and that's what it looks like. And we have our most precious cargo in the back of there, and we're letting mom hold the child. That's unacceptable to us. It's unacceptable to a lot of people. And you're starting to see increased awareness across the country about, hey, we need to do something about this. So the biggest metaphor as to how this, or analogy as to how this has happened, is when you look at x-rays, that's what we used to use. The accuracy was about 70%. Then came MRIs. The accuracy was clinically about 80%. Then came CAT scans. It's 99%. So this is the same with the pediatric restraint market. You had old devices that weren't clinically superior, and now as the technology becomes available, the superiority and the ability to safely restrain that child is now here. The state of Michigan showed great foresight in providing these for the entire state. It was a conversation that we had had with the medical director, Josh and I. We had with the child coordinator. Every state has an EMS for children coordinator. Those are the people that you need to talk to about restraining kids safely. They are the authorities on it, and they know every device, ours included, across the country. And they can give you great advice as to what their thoughts are in terms of educating people on how to properly restrain these kids. That being said, when you look at the ambulance child restraint system, as I said, it's the only one that can do from 4 to 99 pounds in a 10-inch by 10-inch bag. It has an extra small for an infant from 4 to 11 pounds. Then it's a small, a medium, and a large. In addition, when you put, basically it has four cot straps. You loop them around the frame of the stretcher. You pick the restraint you want, you clip it in, and you put the shoulder harness and the waistband on the child. To tighten the restraint, it's hard when I'm talking on the phone to describe it, but I'll do the best that I can. You can watch the video on our website. But as you pull the restraint down and tighten it, the interesting thing about the ambulance child restraint system is it tightens into the mattress of the stretcher, not into the child. So now, if that child has a cracked rib or an internal injury, every other device tightens into that child. Ours doesn't. So now you don't have to worry about making a bad situation worse. In addition, every other device during transport, if you have to work on the child, you have to unrestrain them. That defeats the entire purpose of restraining a child in the first place. You never want them unrestrained. With the ambulance child restraint system, from the airway to the waist is always open. You never have to unrestrain that child. Even in the entire time during transport, it's been fully crash tested to the European SEN standard, which is the strictest crash test standard in the world, accepted widely by the 23 countries in the EU, actually the 22 countries now that Britain's out. And then once you're done with the device, you fold it back into itself and you can machine wash it. Just throw it in the washing machine to disinfect it. Additionally, if you it can be used on any stretcher. So I know there's some devices now that if you're using a Furno stretcher or a Stryker stretcher, you have to buy a bracket to put the device on one or the other. With this, it's universal to any stretcher. And we're seeing statewide adoptions, as the state of Michigan did, across the country, whether it's the state of Wyoming, who has 150 of them, or the state of the Eastern EMS Council for the state of Pennsylvania that has 260 of them, or Austin, Texas, who has 70 of them. It's really becoming the de facto product for restraining children in the back of ambulances. So that's kind of an overview of the market, kind of what's going on in the market, and the ambulance child restraint system. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions, either in regards to the market in pediatric restraints or the ambulance child restraint system in general.
I appreciate that, Chris. Thanks for the nice introduction, too, and the detail that you provided. We encourage our listeners to take a look at your website and watch the video. I guess, you know, one question I have in encountering, you know, transporting a child to the hospital, one is we couldn't settle the child down, so mom sat on the stretcher. We belted mom in, but they held the child. Obviously not a safe situation. It is what it is, and that's what we had to do. The other suggestion that has been promoted for a long time is you need to get the child's safety seat strapped to that stretcher. Maybe they will find that to be a little bit more comfortable because it's their safety seat, child safety seat. But that presents some problems in how you adequately strap it to your stretcher and, you know, does it get wobbly or not, that type of thing. Do you have a comment regarding use of a safety seat compared to strapping the child with the safety device that you promote?
Sure. My comment would be this in regards to car seats. Car seats are not meant to be used in ambulances. They're not meant to be used on a stretcher. It is merely something that has just kind of evolved and people use them. Number one, the manufacturers won't warranty the use of that car seat in the back of an ambulance. It's not meant to be used. It's not warranted. So if it gets in an accident, you know, there's no warranty with that. Also, car seats have expiration dates. Not many people know this, and not many parents will ever check. You could actually, if you got pulled over, you'd get a ticket for having an expired car seat. Additionally, the child is always seated. So if you have to work on them, you have to unrestrain them anyway. In addition, you can't lay them down to work on them. With the ambulance child restraint system, they can be sitting, they can be laying flat. Either way, it doesn't matter. But that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, everyone adapts and overcomes and uses what was currently available for that time frame. And, you know, unfortunately, nothing was perfect. You know, there's always pluses and minuses to all of them.
Right. Very good. Thank you. Patrick, did you have some comments? I know you're looking at this product.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a question. We're definitely taking a look at it and want to trial it and see what kind of feedback we get from our staff. A little bit along the lines of the car seat question, though, we've had the Furno PD mates, but we've gone away from Furno cots. So I'm kind of thinking there might be an issue with that, with using that Furno type product with, say, a Stryker. Do you have any observations on that, Chris?
I do. And I have to stay at the 100,000 foot level when on this comment. When you're talking about using a Furno product, I can't comment because I'm not them on a Stryker cot. That really, you have to call Furno in regards to actually doing that. I do have a comment about the PDMate, and I can give you the 411 on it. The PDMate will only do from 10 to 40 pounds. So any child under 10 pounds, it's not going to work for them. Any child over 40 pounds, it's not going to work for them. PDMate is made out of a vinyl, and then on the outside of it, it actually has stitching. So when you go to clean it and you spray it, how do you truly know that that cloth stitching is disinfected? I would say just from an observational perspective, you don't. So if you kind of look at all these restraints, you have your car seat. You know, as we're talking here and you're asking me questions, you're kind of showing the landscape of what's out there. Hey, we're going to use a car seat. We're going to use mom. We're going to use a PediMate. Not a single device covers all the bases that you need. So it's not just covering the weight range of 4 to 99 pounds. It's actually doing it properly, being able to tighten it into the mattress, being able to keep that child restrained during transport and never, never, ever unrestrain them. So those are just some things to think about. You would need 4 different devices to do what the ACR4 does. So think about from a logistics standpoint and a storage standpoint, what you just talked about, the car seat, the PediMate. You have 4 products that you're trying to wedge into the back of that ambulance. That takes up a lot of space, and you're doing very few pediatric calls. So you don't have room for other stuff. With the ACR, it's a 10-inch by 10-inch bag. It folds right in there, and you just put it in the back. So it's not just a clinical aspect of it. It's also storage-wise.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Yeah, excellent points. Thank you very much, Krish. Josh, did you have anything in closing? I guess, how would people get in touch with you if they're interested for a demonstration or to get their hands on one?
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. I encourage anybody who's interested to just call me directly is the best way to get a hold of me. And I can be reached at area code 616-915-6392. And yeah, feel free to give me a call anytime.
All right. Well, we appreciate both of you being on the program this morning and sharing your information. We will post the pictures and the step-by-step visual with this, and we'll send it statewide when we promote the sharing of this streamed podcast. So thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, very
Thanks
good.
Thanks for having me.
Very good. Yes, thank you. You're very welcome, and we appreciate you sharing this new product with us. It's always nice to hear what's new and exciting out there. And, you know, we don't do a lot of pediatric calls, but when you do, you want to be keep them safe. And obviously this helps fill that void. Patrick, anything in closing today?
No, just other than a great great use of half an hour or 40 minutes, getting some great information. Thanks, Joe.
Okay, you're very welcome. I want to share with you, too, our next live broadcast, when that is going to be. I'm just searching here for my notes. Pardon the pause. I wanted to make sure I mention this because it's a situation that we encounter, I'd say, quite frequently, and that's dealing with strokes. So the next EMS Live program is Tuesday, August 9th, starting at 9 a.m. Our guest is David Fladden with MediStar in Madison. David's going to be discussing with us the importance of stroke management and covering their excellent new program with the Coverdell EMS partner opportunity. We look forward to hearing more about that. So that, again, is our next live streamed podcast, Tuesday, August 9th. Starting at 9 a.m. We had some great information shared today. We'll send it out statewide and also publish it on the Paul website. EMS Live is streamed live via the phone and internet the second and fourth Tuesday every month. Today's program was recorded and will be available on demand shortly for playback from the Paul homepage, paaw.us. On behalf of Patrick Ryan and Chris Anderson, this is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. Thank you very much for being with us today. Have a good day.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.